Well, good afternoon, everybody. Darren Saul here, your host of Saul Searching, the Saul Recruitment Podcast, episode 23. Hope everybody's doing fantastically well. I have a very, very special guest by the name of Kathleen Ann. How are you, Kathleen?
I'm very well. Thanks, Darren. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm looking forward to having a chat with you today.
Me too.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. Now, for everybody out there, today we're going to be chatting about how to make sure you get paid what you're worth. Now, Kathleen Ann is an international award-winning marketing coach. She has followed her heart, which led into a corporate career and back out again into the brave new world of an entrepreneur. Kathleen specializes in money mindset strategies, as well as marketing strategies for service-based small business owners and corporates, such as coaches, consultants, trainers, wellness practitioners, and client-based, heart-centered entrepreneurs. She coaches her clients to create a healthy relationship with money so that they can change what they're worth and get
charge
it.
What they're worth.
Charge, my apologies. Charge what they're worth and get it. Kathleen happily works from home in Lugano, overlooking the beautiful Georges River that she shares with her chef husband. When she's not creating breakthroughs with her clients, you'll probably find her playing with her 9 grandchildren, or just as likely playing around on the golf course. So Kathleen, once again, thank you very much for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
So Kathleen, I'd love to start with your journey, because you've done it all. You've been in the corporate space, you've come out of the corporate space, you know, you've had a wealth of experience. Tell us a bit about your journey and why you do what you do.
Well, it's been a long journey. I'm getting along. I do have some things to share, and I guess I should start with my what I call "Don't Come Monday" invitation from my corporate role. That was probably about 28 years ago. And if anybody listening has had such an invitation, you may have had a different experience. But I was actually delighted that that had come around to be my turn, because back then I'd been inheriting other people's roles. As they were invited out, I got loaded up. So some of you might relate to that as well. So I was wearing a lot of hats. Yeah. And I'd had a fantastic career. I worked in financial services, and I had been headhunted a couple of times to start up a division in the corporates I worked for to basically sell insurance and banking sort of products in a direct marketing way. So avoiding the agents that were selling directly to clients, we went through intermediaries, and they were people like the big client that I worked with was David Jones. That's the big retailer here in Australia. Yeah. And they had DJ's credit cards, and they purchased their products paid monthly, ka-ching, ka-ching. Some of them are probably still on the books. And that was when I first started, and I fell in love with the idea of being able to reach a target audience, make an offer, and charge them. So that's always been in my planning when I'm looking at how to bring product to the market. It's services that I deliver, but I look at it as productizing them. So I'll talk a little bit more about that so people will understand. But basically what I was doing was having a good time in my career. I was going overseas the following week, and then I got that Don't Come Monday. So as I said, I was actually delighted, and I took off on a holiday for 5 weeks, and that's when I came back and I played around a little bit longer, bought a set of golf clubs, and that was the beginning of that passion, which I continue to do.
Wow.
But yeah, the reason I did that was if people are listening and they understand that changing from an employee in one situation to looking for another role or another company, there's a lot to think about. And one of the things I thought about was, will it be any different in the next company? Will I still feel passionate about what I'm doing? Mm. Or I began to entertain the idea that I might row my own boat and go into business for myself. Having never had that idea before, that's what kept coming up. The more I waited, the more that was likely, and that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. And did you, were you, so you never thought of starting your own business before? This was just a catalyst that brought it up from your subconscious, you think?
Yeah, pretty much. It must have been when I was considering my options, as they say. And that one kept standing out. And I figured that I'm not very good at being told what to do, pretty much. That's the bottom line. Yeah, so why not have my own business, having no preconception of that or what it would take to do that.
Yeah.
But I did it. That's what I decided to do. And I share with people now that I went down a rabbit hole, actually, because I decided to be a consultant. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, that's not an easy road. Mm-hmm. And I learned from that it's far better to be what I now am, is a coach.
Okay.
And the difference between that, a consultant's usually looking for a problem, helping a client understand that they have that problem and then putting a plan in front of them that's usually long-winded to get to the sale point. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to turn up and deliver. Yeah. And I did get some big gigs, like Commonwealth Bank and Real Insurance and a couple of other well-known household names. I then had to deliver. So I needed to resource it. Then I figured, why was I doing this when I really just wanted to be a solopreneur? I didn't want staff. I didn't want to manage people. I love people, but I don't want to manage them.
Yeah.
So everything I did was really, in hindsight, which is a wonderful thing, because I was pretty ignorant, really, about what I wanted and how to do it. So eventually I did decide that there's something wrong with this model and I needed a better one. And I looked around, really. What I did was find somebody who already had the type of business that I wanted. And that person happened to be in the United States. And unlike today, I, 2 weeks later, hopped on a plane, went to America, and I did the three-day program, really to reinvent myself, to rebrand myself, reposition myself, all of those things. And I loved every minute of what I learned there. And I was very persistent. I wanted the people that I went to that program to learn from to create a certification program. I wanted to do the sorts of things that I'd learned to do there for other people. And I figured, I know a lot of, particularly women, who were being put out of corporate situations, who were really intelligent, had a lot of skill set, and maybe would have gone down the path that I did and had the same issues that I had. And I knew that I could really save them all that angst and get them going much, much faster. Mm-hmm. So I really did, back then, pivoted my business and then focused on that market. And I talk about working with heart-centered women entrepreneurs and enlightened men. Guys like you, Darren.
Thank you.
You guys want to bring yourself to your business too. Show up and be yourself is my mantra. Every other job is taken. Why not just do your thing? Be who you are. Attract the people who are attracted to you because of you and the way you do what you do. And that's the easiest job in the world. So that's what I help people do. Create the easiest job in the world for
absolutely.
Themselves.
Absolutely. And that's the job that allows you to continue what you do forever, because it's your truth.
It is. And the more that you acknowledge that and play to your strengths, lots of people, and we learned it in school, didn't we, that we had to work on our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. I've never understood that. I cannot work out why you would waste time when all your brilliance is there to be utilized. So play in your own sandpit. That's what I really help people understand. What brings you joy? What can you do basically standing on your head?
Yeah.
It comes so easy to you that other people struggle with, and you can make a lot of money doing things so much more easily if you've sought all that out in the first place.
Absolutely. And I like to use the word leverage. I think everybody should leverage their skills, their strengths, their experience, what they're good at. Leverage, 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 as you say. That's basically working on your strengths, utilizing your strengths, not focusing on
what you
don't know
how to
do.
Exactly. Do the things that you struggle with. So it's easy.
100%. Totally agree with you. And I know we'll touch on this a bit later on, but I know that you have a philosophy around the difference in the way consultants versus coaches charge, which we'll touch on as well, because that kind of feeds into your mantra of how to get paid what you're worth.
Paid what you're worth. Yeah, there's quite a lot involved in that, and that's what I learned for myself, and that's what I really work with now, both sides of that process about the marketing and the money mindset. And together, you really can increase your income. Like, there's no limit. There really isn't. And I know we're talking to a lot of people who have employment at the moment, but I've helped people who've had a job. I did it for myself. You have to speak up. You have to appreciate your worth. And you basically need to ask to be paid your worth, whether you're an employee or it's your own business.
Totally agree. And it's a beautiful segue into my first question is really, you know, these days it's happening. You know, I've been a recruiter for 20 years and it's still happening like it was years and years ago, is that a lot of companies are expecting their staff to do more and more and more, not always getting compensated for that. But our staff, or the staff usually says, all right, fair enough, I'll just accept. So why do you think we accept that from a money mindset point of view? Why is it that we accept that so much?
Well, it's conditioning, really. Yep. And it's what we see and what we keep experiencing until we change that picture. And interestingly too, one of the reasons that people, when they go into business, find it difficult to charge what they're worth, because they're being used to pay for their time. Even back in corporate, back in the day, I used to think, why don't we get paid for results? And we used to get a bonus, you know, if we achieved on and above our KPIs, well, then we may receive a bonus, we may not. And that was meant to compensate for that extra that you may do. But truly, Darren, don't you think if we only got paid on results, and I know this is a fact, that productivity goes through the roof.
For sure.
We could work half the time in a job, half the time that we do when we're being monitored and paid by the hour. And this is what happens. We're conditioned to being paid for our time. So when you are running your own business, people say, and how much do you charge? And still I hear people talk about an hourly rate. And that's, once again, it's because that's what they're used to. So I turn that around and I go, I don't want to buy your time. I honestly don't. None of us do, except we fall into that trap. We just expect that we're going to get an hour's worth of what for an hour's dollar value.
We're exchanging money for time. And I'm guilty of that myself. Absolutely.
Yeah, and this is the trap. This is what happens. So I say to people, just think about this. If you were, just say you weren't well and you went to a therapist and they were helping you to wellness. Would you rather go every week for 6 months and be treated? Or would you like me to get my magic wand and pop you on the head and you're good to go?
I'll take the cure for
sure. Worth more money.
Absolutely.
So think about it. Don't buy time. Buy results. So therefore, if we want to buy results, you need to sell to the outcome. What is the outcome that people get? One, if they hire you in the business, or if you have your own business and you are working with clients, what will they pay you for? So people who are now maybe going to look for a new job or thinking about the fact that they might need to go and get another job, go and interview the company that you're looking to be employed with. Ask them questions to see whether they're a good fit for you.
I love that. See, that's a really important mind shift, a really important paradigm shift in how we think, because it's not about, let's please take me. It's are we working together, and am I going to get something from this exchange?
Exactly. And I'm deciding whether I'm going to give you my intelligence and my work effort and the results I'm going to get for you just as much as you'd like to know from me what you want to know, because I need to know that we're a match, because we are not going to get along if things aren't as we both wish them to be. So I think we do have to think about an interview process as a two-way process. I do have some questions for you. And of course, you don't go to the bottom line how much you're going to pay me. But what you do is evidence the results that you've achieved in your career to date, and also the results that you could achieve for the person who's sitting and interviewing you. Ask questions like, What am I expected to produce in the time that I'm working for you?
Mm-hmm.
What will my KPIs be? And how is that monitored? You know, I like to know that nobody's hovering over me. That's the worst situation, is after somebody watching that you're doing something. Yeah, I'd much prefer people definitely. Say, here's the task, go away and get it done. And that's the job. Surely that's the job, not how you do it, providing you keep to the company ethics and all the rest of it. I'm not suggesting you break the law, but just basically get the results that you get in the way that you get them. Build a team around you who works with you, not against you, which often happens. You get people in the wrong role in corporates and, you know, everybody's not really seeing the same outcome and vision. So things get much tougher.
And that kind of makes a lot of sense, because if we're not conditioned to ask for what we're worth, then that's what creates that struggle for power in a way, because we feel that we're not being compensated for what we do, and then there's this tension that builds between staff members within an organization rather than a beautiful homogenous culture, because everybody is getting paid what they were. So it's a very subtle way of thinking, but it's such an important one.
Well, it is about the way we think, and that's basically what mindset is. What are you thinking? And, you know, we don't really know what we're thinking. Most of the time it's in the subconscious, and it's all buried in there from our experience, and until it raises its ugly head, we don't see that there's a pattern, and we don't understand what triggers us around that. I think way back early on, I must have had some inkling about my self-worth, because I remember when I first went from being in a clerical role, the supervisor's role where I was working became available, and this young man who was probably 10 years my junior told me not to apply for that job because the public wouldn't want to speak to a woman. Now, I hope we've moved on, because that was a long time ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope so too. But you can understand. But that's how he was thinking, and that was a mindset. And I ignored him, obviously, and I put my hand up and did apply for that role and got it.
Well done.
And then the manager was congratulating me and then telling me about the salary increase that I could look forward to. And I just looked at him and I said, are you kidding? If you think I'm going to do that job with all that extra responsibility for that small increase, think again. Put my chair back over there. I'm not doing it. Well, he just, shock, horror. And he went, I'll tell you what he said. He said, I knew it. I'm going back upstairs to talk to the managing director, and I will be back to talk with you.
There you go.
He came back with a better offer. Still wasn't fantastic, but I thought, I spoke up. And now I learned that lesson. If you don't voice what you're thinking, you can't change the situation, but what happens is that animosity builds up. It doesn't go away.
No.
You grudge the whole thing for as long as it lasts.
Definitely.
So have your say. Yep. And that's one thing I think we do need to have, that opportunity to have a conversation. And, you know, just saying, no, I don't think so. I don't agree with that, or I have a different view, or that's not good enough. Basically, that's not good enough. Not for what I do. And the results that I get. And I've made millions for companies. I lay claim to that. I have. And I expect that I would be paid well for that.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, I always say to people, it's really about selling your value. That's what it is. It's about showing people how valuable you are, and then you will get paid what you're worth. So if we take two scenarios, I mean, did you want to mention something? If we take two scenarios, let's talk about people that are employed at the moment that still feel that they're not getting paid what they're worth. How do they go about slightly changing that equation? And then people that are going for interviews that actually would like to make sure they get paid what they're worth straight off the bat, or at least have a roadmap to it. Let's think about what can people do in those two scenarios.
Okay. Let's take the one where you're already in the role and you know that you're being not as well paid as you ought to be. Yeah.
Undervalued. That's a nice
undervalued
way to put it.
And underpaid. Yeah. Therefore. So So you need really to have your information. You've got to research, basically. Yep. You need to know, perhaps in the wider industry, what's the going rate for the sorts of things that you do.
Yep.
You need to be able to lay claim to the results that you've achieved. And if you can, attach a dollar value to that.
Nice.
That's really important to be able to say, and I have produced this income for the company from my role. And you'll often find the difference in the millions you may have made.
For yeah, them absolutely.
And I'm not saying, look, as a business owner, I know we take on a lot of responsibility, and you don't expect a company to not be getting a good return themselves. So you have to obviously equate it with what's the reality. But the reality is that there's often inequity.
Yep.
And it's in there that I think is the leverage. I'll give you an example with a client.
Great.
She came to me and said that she knew that she was being underpaid vis-a-vis the male people who were in, they were brokers, basically.
Right.
And she was bringing in business at the top of the chain. She was bringing in more business than they were.
Right.
Yet she knew that she was being paid less.
Mm-hmm.
So she was working on a program I have with on money mindset, just specifically on that. So it doesn't matter whether you're an employee or you own a business, but it was really about her own self-worth that we were working on, which
yeah.
I always say increase your self-worth to increase your net worth.
Awesome.
So we were in this program, and I said to her, okay, it is time for you to step up and ask for an increase. And we worked out factually, and we had all her ducks lined up, if you like.
Yep.
And she was going to Brisbane. She was in Sydney, going to Brisbane interstate for a meeting, which was a regular with the owner of the business. And she was directly reported to him. So I said, let him know in advance that you want an appointment outside of what you're going for to speak with him.
Nice.
Don't tell him what it's about. You just tell him you need his time and you need to discuss something with him.
Yep.
And he'll probably figure out what that might be, but that's okay. Anyway, off she went, and she had the discussion. And as she got into that discussion, he just said, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And he gave her just straight off the bat a 20% increase.
There you go.
Straight off the bat. She didn't have to argue the point at all. He knew that yeah. she was not being paid correctly for the contribution that she was making. So that was great. You know, she came back and she was all happy, and, you know, she'd had this quite a big increase. And then it was only some months later, she got headhunted.
Uh-huh.
So she'd already got 20% on her current salary package, and she got headhunted and negotiated a 30% increase on her current package.
Wow.
So well under 6 months, she'd gone like boom, boom, 50% off the original.
Yeah.
But a 30% on top of her 20% was a very nice, she was still doing the same thing in this new company that she'd been doing. She just suddenly figured out, I'm worth more.
Yep.
And there you go.
And so that was the perception that everybody took as well. So they said, all right, we have to pay you more. Because
we have to pay you more. Otherwise, she could have moved on. And in the end, she did move on. And that is what often happens. I think as employers find, when they try to convince you to stay, when they finally want to pay you more, you're well past that.
It's too late.
Too late.
Too late. Yep.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what happened. Yeah, that's pretty much what happened to me eventually in an earlier company. I'd gone through that process. The one I mentioned that didn't want to pay me in the first place, the sufficient. By the time I left there, they were wanting me to stay and offering me whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, doesn't take, it's too late. And I've already moving on to set up a whole new area from scratch. I mean, that was challenging, and that was something exciting for me. So I said, it's not just about the money. Mm. And you should have understood about the money way earlier.
Yeah. And as I say, you know, employers should always take the time to make sure they really know as best they can intimately from each of their employees what drives them, what motivates them.
Sometimes
it's not always money. It could be other things.
True.
But it's really important to know
all that. Yeah. And you'd know that certainly because you're in that industry. Yep. I only know it from my personal experience that I, like every other individual, have our needs, and we have to have our needs met.
Sure.
And if they're not being met, we'll look for them somewhere else, even if it meant that we're taking a risk. Something is in urging us to do that. And that was the risk I took to start my own business, because I figured, oh, nobody's ever going to ask me not to come back on Monday again. That'll be
That's
one
right.
thing.
Absolutely. And sometimes all people want is a car spot, or be able to leave on Friday afternoon, a couple of minutes early to pick up their child from school or whatever it is. And then everybody's dancing around everything else and not even talking about something as simple as that can make all the difference.
That flexibility in the workplace, I think, is a very big draw card.
Definitely.
One of the reasons that I wanted my own business was for that flexibility.
Yep.
I only had 2 children, but I've now got 9 grandchildren. Yep. So there's always needs, elders, parents, and all those other responsibilities that we have. And people talk about work-life balance. I think of it as work-life integration.
Yeah, I like that. So true.
Yeah, the balance is very hard to achieve.
Definitely.
And most of the time, it's on somebody else's terms.
Yep.
So I think the integration is far more achievable and serves us better anyway.
Absolutely. I always say I work and live 24/7. It's just I just balance the ratio as I need.
Just do what it takes. And it's a great way to work, which is how I get to play golf.
Yeah.
You know, I can go and play golf and then I can come and do a bit of work. I can, work an evening if I needed to.
Yep.
Doesn't matter, but it's down to me and that matters.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing. And so let's take scenario B. Say someone is looking for work and they're starting to have those conversations about what do you think you're worth? What are your expectations? How can they start to frame those conversations or answer those questions?
Sure. And their current salary is always going to be the baseline. When you're looking for a new position, they're going to want to know what you're already being paid.
Yep.
So this is the reason why. Start early and get your income to a proper level if you are being underpaid. Or if you go to a new role, tell them you're looking for a new role because you are being undervalued where you are.
Yeah. So true.
And just own up to it. Just say they're of the attitude or the mindset that they're not an employer who values the results that their employees get.
Yeah.
And I'm of the mind that I want to be paid for the results that I get. So I'm happy with KPIs and I like to set KPIs and I like to be properly rewarded when I achieve them.
Absolutely.
So, as I say, have that interview because you want to just have a little bit of to and fro and see how that's landing, because you don't want to go back into another position that once again doesn't advance you. What is the point? Might as well stay where you are.
100%. And it's funny, there's so many times I interview people, and it's clear that they're actually getting paid way below what they should be getting paid according to what the market is saying. But they had no idea. So I think it's important for people to also just do a bit of research, as you say, and understand what the market is paying.
Yeah.
And what you are worth before you go into that.
Yeah. And look at a company where is there equity in all genders and everything in between?
Mm-hmm.
What sort of an employer offering is there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's... for much of my corporate career, I was the only female manager and I never played the corporate game. I couldn't care 2 hoots about that. And I never got into the politics, but most of the managers in my situation, they play politics. So you need to see that there's equity at the table and that you are able then to truly contribute without any of the nonsense that could go on. And I think if we could get equity in every room, not just in a business or as an employee, but in our political arena, if there was true equity, I think we would have far much better balance in the final mix because we get everybody's viewpoint, and it's not heavy on any scale. So I think definitely some industries there's often going to be a bit of a tilt because of what that is, but most of the time that's not the case. It's just, you know, truly unbalanced because of management and their, their ethos. So I've been very careful about looking and seeing, do they support people in training? I would always be, I invest in myself as my own business owner in Absolutely. Training. I'm Absolutely. Always working with a coach. So if you're not prepared to do that, like when you're an employee, if they're not prepared to do that for you, you need to speak up. You need to find and show them that you want to develop, that you want to be ready to step up and take on more roles, that you are leadership material. That's if you want that. If you don't want that, of course, that's a different story. But, you know, if you are looking for advancement in your career, then they're the sorts of things you need to ask those questions, so that if you do get a role in a company, they already know that you're upwardly mobile.
And I mean, what I'm taking from all this is really something very subtle, but something very simple, is, as you say, you have to increase your self-worth to ultimately increase your net worth, i.e. you have to speak up. And a lot of people just don't speak up. You have to develop the confidence to speak up.
The resentment builds up, and then suddenly they just go, oh, to hell with all of this.
I'll just leave and I'll start somewhere else. But then you're just going from the frying pan into the fire.
You take yourself with you, mate. You go right along with it.
Yep, absolutely.
It's so true. And I think the thing about it too is that if people don't think in terms of self-worth, then they don't actually get to the crux of the matter. Because it affects all life. It's not just the job or the business. It's every area of life. If you don't value yourself, who will? And why would they? So it's not a selfish thing. Self-worth isn't about that. It is actually about understanding that we've all got our brilliance, and finding it and playing to your strengths, as we started out with this conversation, instead of getting yourself into a situation where you're not good at what you're trying to do and achieve, that doesn't help you build your confidence, and your self-worth won't rise above it. It'll be limited always by the way that you are thinking subconsciously. It's always going to hold you back.
And I always say, you teach people how to treat you. I've heard that expression years and years ago. I can't remember where, but I think that is just sums up everything we're talking about. You have to teach people how to treat you.
That's absolutely true.
Simple as
that. Some, I said to somebody recently about, oh, they, you know, somebody was known for speaking in a way to people that I wouldn't accept. And I said something like, oh, they wouldn't do that to me. And they said, no, they wouldn't dare.
100%.
And look, it's just about truly embracing all of the opportunities that we have. And there's so many. And once you get those blinkers off, they present to you. Get really clear about what you want. And that's one of the things, I think people go for positions and they don't have clarity. So they're sort of fishing around, and there's no strength of argument. There's no confidence to present the best of, because they're still figuring it out. So besides doing your research, what's out in the market, what else is happening, what do you really want? Which is why I went down that road and created a business model that had no bearing on what I really wanted. I had no clarity. But I didn't have help in back. Although I could have. But no, I chose not to. I could have the outsourced company that was employed to catch people, you know,
outplacement services.
So I chose not to engage with them because I went down the business route. However, if I had caught people like me leaving corporate and could do for them what somebody could have done for me, I could have avoided a lot of grief, time, money, all of that. But then I wouldn't have had the experience, and I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. So I think we always have to acknowledge that for some reason we give ourselves grief and hopefully, and have you had this happen, Darren, where at one time it all comes together? It's sort of like, some
definitely
all the puzzle bits click and you think, now I know why I definitely did all those things, because everything I've done up to this point has come to be valuable.
100%. Sometimes you can go on a slight tangent in the dark for a year, and then all of a sudden you see the light and you understand what you've just done has helped you so much in getting to where you are.
Yeah, so, and everything that preceded it, it all comes to the
it's all the journey.
And the,
But I think self-awareness is key. We all have to just understand ourselves and know what we're doing.
And I think in this time now, you know, I was listening to the ABC radio driving to an appointment today, and they were just discussing about how a lot of people are thinking, I can't wait till 2020 is over, and then we'll be done with it, and we'll get into 2021, and oh, won't that be great?
Just wipe that off the radar. And
yeah, it's not like that. Sorry, but the calendar doesn't actually know whether it's New Year's Eve or it's a month before or a month after. It won't be like that. I think we have to accept that opportunities are ahead of us, and be really clear about what you're looking for. The universe, I promise, will deliver, but you have to be home to receive it.
Yep, I love that. You know, so true.
You have to ask for what you want, be willing to receive, and that's what happens. People keep changing their mind.
So true. And also, I like to say, people, we all have to do the work on ourselves constantly to receive all those opportunities that we wouldn't have even dreamed of. But if we don't do that work on ourselves, those opportunities don't come.
They don't come, because that's, you know, it's really sitting on your laurels and you just stay where you are. And let's face it, if you are doing that, everybody else is moving forward.
That's right.
You know, you're going backwards. You are not staying where you are. You can't do that. And it's one of those things that older generation would have said, be satisfied with what you've got. And there's a mindset for you. Why would you?
Why settle for?
And they would say, well, what about those other people who, you know, they're worse off than you?
Or you have security, or you whatever it is.
Yeah, all of those things that get layered in and what hold us back from really opening to new experiences. And you can't grow. You cannot certainly change and as I say, raise your self-worth if you're not continually looking to be more of who you are.
Yep, so true. Absolutely. Totally. Couldn't agree more. And so, Kathleen, if people want to contact you, or actually before that, tell us a bit more about how you actually work with people.
So what I did do, what I figured out, was rather than consulting, which I now call the hiding to nowhere, the never-ending story where you're looking for your solution, you have a solution, you're trying to fit on everybody, I figured out that what I needed to do was find a group of people who had the same problem that I could fix. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do for people now. I help get them what I call market ready, and so that they're all their ducks are lined up and they can get out then and make their offerings to ease their way so that everything is streamlined. Yeah. So it's a process of working out branding for starters. I'm a very big on show up and be yourself, as I said, but how do you do that? How do you get from the inside out how you want to go about your business? So I help people do that. So branding is a really important part. I help them then choose a niche. How many clients do you need? People don't start with that either. And I think, well, there's only so many clients you can serve. Mm. So you might as well be fussy.
And I've heard you say before that you don't need 100 clients. You only need a handful of good clients.
That's right. So let's work out that they're the best ones for you, the best fit. A little bit like getting a job, having an interview. I don't take on clients that aren't a match. If they need something that, for whatever reason, I'm not their ideal, I've got a big network of people. I'm a big networker, so I would help pass them on to have a conversation with somebody who might be more suited, because it's got to be a good, in a coach situation, it's got to be a really good match. So once they've worked out that niche, I help them work out, okay, what's that problem that niche has? What's that thing that you're going to create your services around fixing? So then we work through, I call it a signature system, what the steps they'll take those people through, their clients, to get the outcome. Remember the thing they'll pay you for?
Yep.
Same as
outcome.
What will you deliver? And be really clear. And that's what you sell. So marketing's easier, selling's easier. Then you do have to turn up and deliver. If you're a consultant coach, you have to, service-based, deliver the goods. So I make it really simple. You're doing the same thing. It's always interesting because your client's always different. The business they have is always different.
Yes.
But your business is really simple and streamlined. You turn up and deliver, which is what I do myself, what I help my clients do. So once you've got all that, I help that system get created into packages. I call it like a good, better, best offering. So there's options for the client to buy in at whatever level. And then, of course, pricing comes in. That comes into the self-worth. How much am I going to charge? So
that's then the whole podcast in itself.
So the understanding there is you're now the expert at something for a very specific group of people, and you can charge what you're worth because they will pay you. Because you're going to get them fantastic results. And so pretty much that's what I help my clients do. And I do that just rinse and repeat. It's an amazing process for them to go through. I do it really quickly, and it's a system. So it's all streamlined. It's not hard work. It's fun, creative. And then you're good to go. You get out there and then sign up your own ideal clients doing your magic.
And highly rewarding, I can imagine, when people come back to you and say, oh, my God, Kathleen, look what I've just done. Look as a result of what
Well, I tell you what, they will be increasing their prices. There's no two way. I can tell everybody listening now that you're worth more money.
Yep. So true. So true. Well done. And so if people want to actually get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Best way would be to jump on my website. Have a little peek around there, see a little bit more about me. If you're interested, you'll see under my services, a little pull down, and book a time. We'll have a chat, 30 minutes. I will give you some good to go tips so that what you may have been doing, I'll be able to put you in the right direction. I'll talk about whether what I do is what you're looking for or whether I can introduce you to somebody else. Whatever I can do to help you on your journey, that's my purpose. And you're very happy to have that complimentary from me.
Awesome. Well, Kathleen, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've learned a lot. I always do from you. And I hope the audience has learned so much in terms of how to think about money mindset, how to think about their own self-worth, how to think about doing work up front to receive those opportunities that they're worthy of, and how to have those conversations that need to be had when they're not happy.
Absolutely.
So definitely. So thank you so much, Kathleen. It's been a real pleasure. I'm going to put all the links to your site and everything else in the show notes. And anything else that you'd like to leave us with before we finish up?
Just I sincerely want to wish everybody a fantastic future. It's there to be had. Listen to yourself, figure out what it is you want, and go and get it.
Love it.
And thanks, Darren, and thanks everybody for listening. It's been my absolute pleasure.
Awesome. And as you say, let's move into 2022 with full of opportunity and full of hope, and you know, make our life happen rather than just waiting for it to happen to us.
And 2021 will be between that.
Yes. Oh no, we're going into 2021, aren't we? God, time is flying. Fantastic. Well, thank you again, Kathleen. Everybody out there, hope you had a fantastic day and you enjoyed our podcast. We'll be back very, very soon for another episode. So bye for now.
Thank you.